Here we go. So I'm really pleased to introduce Joe, who's come to share experience, strength, and hope with us today, and who I'm sure is going to be a lot more organized than I am. Please come on in, Joe.
Thanks very much, Jan. My name's Joe, and I'm grateful to be in recovery. Anybody that knows me knows that I love talking, but of course, as soon as you get on here and you know people are listening to you, kind of go all awry. But and just to clarify, I don't know how this meeting goes, but just to clarify, I think you kind of said that in the beginning. Anyway, what I'm about to say is only my experience, only my belief. Doesn't mean anything about anybody else's recovery or anybody else's experience. I've had experience with AA, NA, CODA, EDA, OA, Procrastinating Anonymous, and Emotions Anonymous as well. So I've tried them all. But I'm not going to bash God here in case some people believe in it. I don't mind if people believe. It's none of my business. It's only when people say to me that they know is what grinds my gears. Because I don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. I don't think anyway. But I don't believe in a God. But I am grateful for the traditional AA that I started in. I was grateful for any AA that I started in, started recovery in. But I believe now that it was just my belief that if I got down on my knees, that would keep me sober. And now I don't believe that. I haven't believed that for a long time. So I'm grateful, that COVID came along because I didn't know about free thinkers, secular meetings. I didn't know about any of them, until COVID came along. I used to go to online meetings back in 2010, but that's when you used to type or telephone in. That was before Zoom became this big hit. But still then it was traditional recovery in any of the programs that I went to. I say to me, that was just my belief that if I do this, that's what's going to keep me sober and away from, I'd say my very first addiction would have been men, would have been people. It was just this want to be needed. If I had somebody that needed me, it kind of made me feel okay. Like, that was before drink ever came along. You can surmise that it was my upbringing or any of that kind of stuff. I never met my dad in my life. My mum was alcoholic. She never turned out as she's dead now from alcoholism. She never turned out as bad as I did. I became homeless and stuff, but she certainly, she didn't have the tools for bringing up kids, and she brought up two girls on her own, like, with no help whatsoever from parents, from fathers, from nothing, like, and she was alcoholic. So you can surmise maybe the psychological stuff that I tried to attach myself to men because I needed somebody to love me. And maybe that's true. I don't know. I don't know. I done psychology as an adult. Only about 10 years ago, I've done a psychology degree. And they're still not really sure on that. It's kind of like, I can't think of that condition, that illness, but where they don't know, they still don't know 100% whether it's nature or nurture. But whatever way it was, I turned out to be addicted. So I started drinking at 16. I was chucked out of home, around about my 16th birthday, and that was because my mum didn't want me turning out like my sister, because my sister had been stealing since about 17 and taking drugs, and she threw my sister out. Don't mind that my mum was drinking alcohol and stealing alcohol, but she threw my sister out for doing that, and then she found out that I was talking to my sister, so she told me to choose between her and my sister. And the poor woman, she'd done that our whole lives until she died, if even as adults. If she wasn't talking to my sister, I wasn't allowed to talk to my sister. It's huge codependent stuff, like. So got checked out at 16. That's when I started drinking. And within a good few months, I was drinking alcoholically. I just wanted to get out of my head. Didn't matter what it was. I was sniffing gas or whatever it was. Whatever somebody offered me to get out of my head, that's what I done. But because I always kept down a job, I always said, well, it's up to me what I done my money. At the time, I thought that I was choosing. And I still don't know now because I'm so far, I haven't drunk or took drugs after about the first year. So because I haven't taken drink or drugs for 23 years, I don't know whether I would go back to it or whether I wouldn't, or I don't know. Like, sorry, that's not what I meant to say. I don't believe that I would go back drinking and drugging. But at the time, I don't know whether I was really seriously choosing it or whether I don't hold all the beliefs that traditional AA says. I definitely believe that if I went back drinking now, I'd drink alcoholically. But I don't know whether because I haven't been drinking for such a long time, if I stopped going to AA, then I would start drinking. I've seen plenty of people go out and do that. I don't believe that AA is the only way of getting sober, but it suits me. I love going to meetings, especially free thinker meetings. I like the fellowship that I've got from it. I like the path that it put me on, looking at myself, because I never looked at myself my whole life, like up until I stopped drinking. I like the fact that I had to make amends to people that I hurt. I didn't like it at the time, but I think it made me a stronger person to be able to go back and make amends to people that I hurt, like. So for me, AA fits me. AA, NA, any of them, any recovery program. It suits me. So yeah, so sorry, I go all over the place. I don't stick to some kind of linear script. I drank and drugged continuously for 10 years. As I said about the man thing, I was engaged to one lad at 17, and then I got married to a different lad at 18. I was even with men, I was like, oh, geez, no, it's greener this other side or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't. And then I was divorced by the time I was 22. It's not something that I like. I'm laughing about it now, but it's not something that I was happy doing. I'd always wake up the next day and I'd be like, geez, I'm not doing that again and stuff. And I didn't intentionally go and try and find boyfriends or sleep with men. That wasn't my intention. But when I got drunk, I have no idea what was going to happen. I just didn't like. I just didn't. And when I watch any of those murder mystery things or crime or whatever, I feel so, I'm not going to say blessed because I don't believe in a God. Like, I don't think it's that, but I feel so lucky and so privileged that I wasn't one of those numbers. Like, because I could have been. I went off with complete strangers out in the middle of nowhere. I went off one night. Because these lads had drink, and we went back to their caravan. I had no idea where I was on my own with these two guys, and we went swimming in this swimming pool, and we were drinking pints of vodka with cider as a mixer. And nobody knew where I was. I didn't know where I was. Like, that was just one night. Like, so I'm very, very lucky to be sitting here now as a 52-year-old woman. I am, like, I just I am. So anyway, as I said, I didn't intentionally set out to do that kind of stuff. I wasn't this wild child. You could say my sister was a wild child. I wasn't. I was always the one that was trying to be good so that maybe my mum would stop drinking. I was the one that always wanted to try and be good. I wasn't this. But as soon as alcohol or drugs came into my system, and I only then went and took drugs afterwards just to try and carry on the party, like, even though I ended up being a heroin addict for 3 years. So 10 years of just pure mayhem. I got arrested a good few times. I wasn't put in prison, but arrested a good few times. And then even the day of when I first went to AA, somebody give me a nod when I'm near the end of time because I will talk forever. The first night I ever went into AA, it was New Year's Eve, the millennium. So everybody was out at not everybody. Thousands of people up Trafalgar Square. I lived in London at the time, celebrating this millennium coming in. I'd never gone to Trafalgar Square, and yet I was sitting in an AA meeting, and I was jealous of the people up at Trafalgar Square, like, and I didn't want to be in there. We weren't squatting, but the flats that we stayed in, they were the older. I obviously people can hear my accent. I'm English, but they were the older generation of the Irish that went over in the 70s and never came back home. So I hung out with them. They were all a lot older than me, like. So some of them had had flats, but there was nothing in them. You might have a mattress. There was no hot water. There was no heating. No cookers. No nothing, like. And then you'd all be sharing a mattress, like when. It was just around the clock drinking. And then this 2 days before New Year's Eve, it was my ex-partner. I have to give him that, like, it was my ex-partner. He was 10 years older than me. And he was like, we really have to do something here. We have to stop, like. And even though I had nothing, all I had was the set of clothes I was in, and they were filthy, like. I was like, I don't want to go to an AA meeting, like. And he's the one that dragged us there on New Year's Eve. So for the first 2 years, and then we ended up, we done all the things that they don't advise you to do. We ended up coming over to Ireland because he's Irish, like, after 8 months of, I'm going to say sobriety in inverted commas. It was awful messy. And then I got a job as soon as I came over here, but he carried on smoking dope, even though he'd given up the drink. And then I'd come home from work, and then for months, I'll be like, I'd try and go to an AA meeting. I wasn't driving at that time, and we'd be out at the back of Beyond in the middle of nowhere. And I'd be like, I'm going to an AA meeting. And then if it was a man that was giving me a lift, there'd be a big, huge row then when we got back that I was going off with this man, even though I was trying to get sober. Like, so it was the first 2 years of trying to get sober was very, very messy, very messy. And then it was one another Christmas, that 2 years Christmas from coming in. And we were rowing, and he was, I was off it, off everything. And we were rowing, and he was trying, I had a fiver in my pocket, and he was trying to saw these jeans off of me to get the fiver out of my pocket. And I said to myself, I might as well be drinking. If I'm at this side, I might as well be drinking. And I actually ran away. I had a backpack, the little black cat I had, and I ran for miles because we were out in the middle of nowhere, hiding in bushes while he was chasing me. And I took myself off to Dublin, and that's where I started getting sober. So that was my journey into to recovery. Love to say it was all plain sailing, but it wasn't. I lost a house in recovery, mortgage. I lost a house, lost a few jobs, got into some really messy relationships because I was so still codependent. That's why I started going to Coda. And what I love about Coda is I don't go to it anymore. But what I loved about Coda is, I don't know how it's done anywhere else in the world, but in Galway, it was if they take you through the steps, they're your sponsor while they take you through the steps, and then that's it. I'm not knocking anybody that has a sponsor. I haven't had a sponsor for at least 10 years, like, and I will be forever grateful for the women that guided me in the beginning. But I'm 23 years sober, and I can still have really, really mad thinking, like really off the wall thinking. And I'm like, I'm going to somebody else to tell, for them to tell me how to run my life. I'm like, I don't know about that. I have some really, really close friends. I do, the recovery friends. And we talk shit out. We talk shit between each other. Is that in the beginning when I had a sponsor, I was calling her all the time. Every 5 minutes, I say, I must have called her at least 6 or 7 times a day. I near enough asked her to tell me should I turn left or right. And I'm not knocking that at all, at all. But I do love the way Coda says, "Okay, I'm going to guide you through these steps. These steps are going to help you have a bit of normal living." And then you're off on your own. You can call me when you want, but you're off on your own. And I like that. I still get a buzz. I said this at my meeting the other day. Still get a buzz from driving. Something as simple as that. I didn't drive until I came into AA, like, and still when I sit in my car, I'm like, geez, this is such a great gift, such an unreal gift that I can have a car. I had a job for 12 years. I went back to school as a mature student, and I got a degree and a master's. It done me no good. I'm still in a factory. But I done it to prove to myself that I wasn't stupid. I stayed in a job long enough. I stayed in a job 12 years, so that when I finished school, I only finished school there maybe 4 years ago. I didn't have a penny, not one penny. But because I'd stayed in that job long enough before I went to school, I was able to cash in a good pension with them. So now I have this old house that I'm sitting in. I have a lovely car outside, which I use the pension for. I have two cats. They reckon in traditional AA, they reckon if you get plants, then you can keep a plant. So I have a rubber plant that I've had 15 years, and I grew it from this, and it's like near enough up at my ceiling. Then I had a dog. Now I have two cats. My little dog died after she was 17 last year. I had to get her put down. But I stayed sober long enough to look after those animals, like. And I still don't know. I'm not one of these people. Please, how many? I'm sure I've used all the time now, haven't I, Jan? I'm not one of these people that go to general meetings and say, "Oh, I know nothing. I know very little, but I do know some stuff." Do you know what I mean? I do know some stuff. I do make decisions for myself. Yes, I need help. I need help with loads of things. I need help. I'm doing up this house. I need people to advise me on stuff. So I need advice on a lot of things, but there are things that I know that I can do myself. I'm a 52-year-old woman. I'd want to know a little bit by now, like. But as I say, I am really grateful that I done the steps. I did used to do an awful lot more. Sorry, menopause in the head. I did used to do an awful lot more service for recovery programs, an awful lot more. I still open. I still secretary my little traditional meeting on a Sunday. If anybody phones, I used to take the. I don't know how it works anywhere else, but we used to have an AA phone that goes around Connacht, and they have it around other parts of Ireland. And I used to take that a lot, and I used to be the telephone convener, and then I used to take it every Christmas. I stopped doing that because there was a bit of personality problems with the person. Not saying it was her fault or mine, but there was a bit of personality problems there. I used to go to area, then I went to what's the one above that? Whatever conference, or I don't know, the one above that. But that's not my kind of scene. I tried it to say that I'd done it. I'd much rather give the cup of tea, answer the phone, put out the chairs. I'd rather do that kind of stuff. One to one, any time anybody wants me to go on a 12-step, I'll do that. But I'm not making the effort much. I've gotten a bit lazy since we got Zoom. I have. I will admit that. But I'd still, I like the little responsibility prayer. I do like that. I don't get down on my knees anymore. I don't. The only thing, the only literature that I really read is Josie, Beyond Belief. I love that book, the Little Daily Reflections book. I absolutely love it. So I will end on this. I hope I am really, whatever kind of recovery it is, I am really grateful that I was introduced to AA. I've tried other recovery programs, but I suppose just because I'm so used to 12-step recovery now. But on a side note, I was going to the food fellowships for a long time, and they just didn't sit comfortably with me. I didn't like this thing about if you ruined abstinence, and then you'd have to kind of. So I don't go to them anymore. I still talk to some of the women from them, like. But yeah, I kind of just stick with a lot now with the secular AA, and I do. My hope is that I will be able to open a secular face-to-face meeting. I live in Mayo now in Ireland, so I would like to do that. I just feel that it's going to be a bit hard. So I will shut up because I would go on. Thank you so much for asking me to share, Jan.